So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life?" Our second scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll be reading from chapter 12 of the book of the Romans, verses 9 through 21, and it is found on page 987 of your pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. Lord, I ask the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in our epistle lesson this morning to the Christian community in Rome, is concerned to show us what it means to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contrary to what some people believe, we can't follow Jesus in just any old kind of way. There is a way that we are called to live. There's a way that we are called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul is endeavoring to show us that way. Earlier in the book of Romans, Paul told us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but that we are to be transformed in the renewal of our minds. But now in this passage, he begins to show us what that transformed life looks like. And so he tells us to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. Hating what is evil and clinging to the good sounds simple on the face of it, but a lot of people get it wrong. Of course, you don't have to be a Christian to hate what is evil and to cling to the good. Many, many people hate what is evil and cling to what is good, or at least they profess to do it. The problem is that many people often confuse hating evil with hating evil doers. I suspect that even Islamic fundamentalists in the Middle East would agree with Paul that we are to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. In their perverse understanding. That's what they believe that they are doing, and they're killing and kidnapping. They believe that they are hating what is evil and clinging to what is good. But Paul wants us to understand that as God's people, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a way that you and I are called to live. There's a way that you and I are called to hate evil. There's a way that you and I are called to cling to the good. And Paul wants to show us that way. He wants to show us what it looks like, and he tells us that it's the way of genuine love. The way of self-giving love. Paul breaks his thought up into two main ideas this morning. The first has to do with how we live together as God's people. As God's people together, we are called to have mutual love and affection for one another. And when Paul talks about having mutual affection for one another, he's not talking about feelings. But he's talking about the way that we are called to support one another and to care for one another. He reminds us that we are called to be persistent in prayer and passionate and zealous in our love for God and our love for one another. We are called to build each other up and to honor one another. We are called to be a community of hope. All the kinds of things that we do here at Alney Presbyterian Church. We are not a perfect congregation by any means. We still have a lot of work to do, but we know how to be a community that is called to love one another, to lift one another up, to honor one another, and to be a community of hope. A community that serves and loves God and that serves and loves those whom God has called us to serve. And so that's the first idea that Paul deals with in our passage this morning. But Paul's second idea has to do with how we relate to people who are outside the community. People who are outside of the household of faith. And not just people who are outside of the household of faith, but people who despise us and who hate us and who persecute us. And amazingly, Paul tells us that we are to love them too. We are to love those who would be our enemies. Paul says that to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not enough for us just to love one another. It's not enough for us just to take care of one another. Not enough for us just to honor one another. But we are called to love those who would be our enemies. Paul says that we are not to repay evil with evil. We are not to curse those who curse us, but to bless them. We are not to avenge those who do us harm, but we are to pray for them and to love them. As the people of God, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that we are called to hate evil in the world is not to return evil with evil, but it is to overcome evil with good. Now, I have to make a couple of confessions to you this morning. I have a bit of a problem with that passage. Whenever I read passages like that that tells us that we need to love our enemies, I immediately start thinking of a way of how I can theologically get around it. I also need to confess to you this morning that I've been feeling pretty vengeful lately. My heart has been tinged with a bit of hatred and vengefulness lately. It started a few weeks ago when I first heard of the death of James Foley. He's the American journalist who was brutally killed by ISIS, that terrorist group that's been rampaging across Syria and Iraq in the midst of the chaos of the Syrian civil war. The same group has been responsible for committing all kinds of atrocities wherever they go, usually targeting religious minorities, Christians, and Yazidis and Muslims who do not agree with their particular brand of Islamic fundamentalism. In Tikrit recently, according to some reports, they summarily executed 1,700 Iraqi soldiers they had captured. In Mosul, they went into the prison there and separated the Sunni Muslims from the Shiite and then killed all of the Shiite Muslims. And a few days ago, they brutally murdered Stephen Sotloff, another American journalist, even though his mother made an impassioned plea for his life. Mr. Sotloff, a young man in his early 30s, was drawn to the Middle East because he wanted to give voice to all of those voices that often are not heard in that part of the world. But now he is dead, killed by a vicious religious ideology whose version of hating what is evil means hating and destroying anyone who does not agree with them. So again, I confess to you this morning that I've been feeling a little vengeful. I've been struggling with what the Apostle Paul has to say here. And the fact of the matter is, to be quite honest with you, I don't want to love my enemies. I'm still working on loving my neighbors. I don't want to love my enemies. I want to hate my enemies. I want to get my enemies. I want to do to my enemies what they have done to me. I'm not interested in justice. I'm not interested in preventing them from doing what they do. I want revenge. I want to do to them what they have done to others. I want to make them hurt. I don't want to love evildoers. I want to get evildoers. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever just wanted revenge? Have you ever had someone to hurt you so bad, to humiliate you so bad, to belittle you in some way that the only thing that you are interested in is getting revenge, getting even with them, hitting them in the same way that they've hit you? That's kind of the way that I've been feeling lately. But we are reminded this morning that we can't follow Jesus in just any old kind of way. There's a way that we are called to live. There's a way that we are called to be. There's a way that we are called to overcome evil. Paul tells us this morning that we are called to overcome evil with good. That's what Paul wants us to understand. Overcome evil with good. Where does Paul get this? Where does Paul get this nonsense about loving enemies? Is this something Paul just made up? Is Paul some wild-eyed peacenik who doesn't understand the way the real world works? Where does Paul get this? Well, he gets it, of course, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets it from Jesus, not just by what Jesus says, but by what Jesus does. Jesus, the innocent young man who was brutally murdered while in his early 30s. Jesus, who came to give voice to the voiceless and life to the lifeless and hope to the hopeless, but who was brutally crucified on the cross for all of us. The Bible tells us that we were all there in some way or another. We all participated in his murder. We were all represented there at the cross. For the imperial superpower of the day, Jesus was a dangerous religious revolutionary who had to be killed because he was going around talking about a kingdom of God, a kingdom where the first would be last and the last would be first. And so Rome had to kill Jesus. Can't have radical religious people going around talking about they want to establish a kingdom. And so Rome killed Jesus. For the terrorists and the religious zealots of the day who believed that Jesus would be some kind of warrior Messiah who would violently overthrow the enemies of God's people, Jesus had to be killed because he told them that the kingdom does not come by force. And so they betrayed him and wanted to see him murdered. To the responsible religious leaders of the day who believed that Jesus was blaspheming the name of God and subverting the morals of the people, Jesus had to die because he was an enemy of God. And so they killed him. We killed him. We were all there. Jesus was killed because Jesus was considered in the eyes of many to be evil. And that's the way that many of us deal with evil. We deal with evil by trying to destroy it, trying to snuff it out, trying to bomb it. But Paul tells us that Jesus actually dies for us. Jesus, the innocent one, died for all of us on the cross. All of us who had made ourselves his enemies. While we were yet enemies, Paul tells us, Christ died for us. Somehow, that's how God overcomes the power of evil in the world. God doesn't overcome the power of evil by hating us. God didn't overcome our evil by despising us. God didn't overcome the evil of the world by raining down fire and brimstone. God doesn't overcome the evil by establishing the boots of the ground of the heavenly legions. God doesn't do any of those kind of things. That's not the way that God overcomes evil. Instead, we're told in the Bible that the way God destroys evil, the way that God overcomes evil, is in an act of self-giving love. God overcomes evil by dying on the cross. And somehow, that sacrificial death is what puts an end and defeats the forces and powers of death and evil. And Jesus says that whoever would be one of his followers, if we're going to be one of his followers in the world, then we too must deny ourselves and pick up our cross. I think that part of what this means is that we are called in this world to deny that selfish and egotistical impulse that we have to hate our enemies and to repay evil with evil. Yes, we are to hate what is evil. We live in a world that is filled with evil, all kinds of evil. The evil of poverty, the evil of cruelty, the evil of war, the evil of abuse. As God's people, we are called not only to hate evil, but we are called to strive to overcome it. But the evil that we are called to hate and overcome, first and foremost, should be the evil that bubbles up inside of our own hearts. That evil that bubbles up and wants to get back and hit back those who do evil to us, who harm us in some way. Paul reminds us this morning in our passage that whenever we return evil for evil, we do not overcome evil, but instead, evil overcomes us. One of the other stories that occupied my attention in the last several weeks was what was going on in Ferguson, Missouri. My youngest brother lives in St. Louis. In fact, he's a highway patrolman there. Fortunately, he's an Illinois state trooper and not a Missouri state trooper, so he wasn't involved in that whole episode that happened. We don't know yet all of the details of that tragic event that will come out that's still being sorted out, but we do know that That event reflects the tension that often exists between the police and impoverished communities, especially impoverished poor and minority communities. And so the community is right, at least in asking questions about what happened, how an 18-year-old unarmed boy is gunned down by police. But we can be so overcome in our righteous indignation. We can be so overcome in our desire for justice that we allow our hearts to well up with its own anger and violence. And so as I was watching in the news how the community who was protesting was often divided itself, those who wanted a peaceful demonstration and those who were there to commit violence and mayhem and looting. Whenever we respond with injustice and violence, with our own call for violence, then we don't overcome evil. We allow it to overcome us. Paul says that the way to overcome evil is not by repaying it, but we overcome evil with good. Now, please understand this morning that I'm not giving any kind of foreign policy advice to anyone. I wouldn't know what to say to the President of the United States or to any of the other governing authorities in the world about how to deal with foreign policy situations. I don't have any easy answers for what's going on in Donetsk or for how to stop marauding killers in the Middle East. I'll leave that to the same governing authorities that the Apostle Paul will allude to in chapter 13 when Paul reminds us that the governing authorities of the world are ordained by God to make sure that there's order in the world. Somehow God uses the governing authorities of this world to put an end to the evil, or at least to control the evil in the world. So I don't know what to say to Mr. Obama. I don't know what to say to the EU. I don't know what to say to the government of Iraq or to the NATO forces or anyone else. But I do know what to say to us, those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I would say to us is that there is a way. There is a way that we are called to live. There's a way that we are called to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a way that we are to hate evil and to overcome evil. And that way is the way of love, genuine, self-giving love. Love not just for one another, but love even for our enemies. Because ultimately, only the power of self-giving love can overcome evil. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that you are indeed the God of our lives. You have reminded us that while we were yet enemies, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loved us and died for us. Lord, we ask that you help us too to follow in his way. Help us to follow the way of self-giving love. Help us to hate what is evil, but help us to make a distinction between what is evil and those who commit evil. Give us the courage and the power and the strength not to repay evil with evil, but to overcome evil with love. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.